is your ship and you are the captain. Oh, captain, let's make a deal where we both say the things that we both really feel. I feel scared and I'm starting to sink, and I only sink deeper the deeper I think. Oh, captain, oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, wow. There are red spots under your eyes.
Chapter 14, Leaving Linluo Town. Never has Zhang Qinghua had the thought, do you know what would be a great way to start the day? Dealing with Huanhua Palace Sect. Bro, I just fucking love spending my morning arguing over sect jurisdiction with my favorite bunch of cultivators ever. How great would my life be if I could start every single fucking day of my life just like that? He's never even had that thought sarcastically, just in case his no-good system decides to make it come true. Zhang Qinghua can't call the Huanhua Palace reinforcements leader Cultivator Huanhua Asshole, because that's a nickname that suits too many of the interchangeable snobs he's met over the years. He dubs this one Cultivator Overcompensating Belt Buckle. Cultivator Overcompensating Belt Buckle's first priority here, the most important item on this man's mental to-do list upon arriving on the scene of a hot fucking mess, is apparently to demand to know what a peak lord is doing in their territory, alone and disguised as a rogue cultivator. It's just too convenient that Zhang Qinghua is here, very suspicious. Zhang Qinghua's expectations for this reaction were low, because this is Huanhua Palace Sect. But he's still disappointed. A lot of characters from Changchong Mountain Sect are no better, honestly. Zhang Qinghua is up to something at any given moment, sure, and sometimes even more than one something at once. But it's still super rude to just assume that he's up to no good like that. Like he gives enough of a shit about their sect to be up to intrigue here. Like, bro, I'm too busy spying on my own sect. I don't have the time to spy on yours, too. I'm traveling on personal business, Zhang Qinghua says, for the nth time, refusing to bring out his spiritual seal to prove his identity again, because overcompensating belt buckle has grabby hands. Zhang Qinghua is half convinced the man is going to try to bite it to test it next, and he doesn't want Huanhua spit on it. Peak Lord Zhang was very prepared for being on personal business, Cultivator Overcompensating Belt Buckle says, for at least the third time. Duan Tianyu and his friend Yu Qiaonan, coming effusively to Zhang Qinghua's defense by singing his praises, has, unsurprisingly, turned out to be the opposite of helpful. Anyone singing Anding Peak Lord Zhang Qinghua's praises as a warrior just comes off as super weird. Zhang Qinghua, the overrated janitor? No way! Zhang Qinghua had to tell them to stop helping and go help with cleanup before they did his reputation any more damage. It always helped to be prepared. Really? What good fortune that I just happened to be in the area. Your totally unsupervised young disciples could have been demon food already. We should talk about compensation for my emergency supplies if you really insist. What? No! Cultivator Overcompensating Belt Buckle is a man who looks to be in his early 40s. A well-established cultivator out to prove to the fucking world that wisdom isn't totally guaranteed with age. Cultivator OBB repeatedly basically accuses Zhang Qinghua of lying, just barely avoiding directly accusing a Changchong peak lord of some form of espionage. Zhang Qinghua basically reprimands Cultivator OBB and Huanhua Palace Sect for needing Changchong to swoop in and save their asses here, without directly reprimanding a senior cultivator from another sect. It's like a mini-cultivation conference in one shitty extended conversation. Shang Tsinghua would kind of love to fuck off, honestly. But he doesn't totally trust them to handle the cleanup properly without the incentive of another sect watching. Look at what happened the last time he left Huanhua Palace sect in charge. He nearly died. He left Luo Jiahui's shitty ex-boss alone that one time, and Feng Fun Li suffered for it. Unfortunately, this time, he has to see this through. Otherwise, he would totally pat this guy on the shoulder and say, "Don't worry, I also very much don't want me to be here," if he honestly thought it wouldn't start a fight. The pressure of the terrified, outraged, and deeply invested citizens of Lin Luo Town watching probably helps motivate Huanhua Palace sect to actually appear competent, too. Cultivator overcompensating belt buckle brought about 30 cultivators with him, who, to their credit in proving themselves not completely useless, do actually get to work once Shang Tsinghua helpfully, annoyingly, reminds them what work actually needs to be done here. And with only minor grumbling about not actually getting to fight anything, even though no one likes the cleaning up things that smell worse than shit phase of missions. The remaining House of Rejuvenation guests and servants are being extensively questioned, alongside local officials, while the establishment's books and the incredible amount of blackmail Shang Tsinghua would bet, like, solid money those books contain, have been secured. Madame Hu and that mad scientist doctor are dragged away as soon as possible, apparently to become the next top residents of Huanhua Palace sect's infamous dungeons, which Shang Tsinghua, traitor to the cultivation world, generally prefers not remembering exist, thanks. The bodies of the victims are treated as well as possible, while the cultivators go through the misery of trying to identify them, if only because absolutely no one wants to be back here dealing with resentful corpses later. The ashes of the demons and the demonic artifacts are gathered up for proper disposal, while the demons' luggage and carriages and all their stuff are quickly packed up as the Huanhua Palace sect's spoils of the hunt. Which, hey, is pretty fucking annoying when Shang Tsinghua did most of the actual work. Also, years and years of logistics work is going to Shang Tsinghua's brain for sure, because he keeps wanting to stomp his foot and declare, "Hey, assholes, that's inefficient ordering of tasks, and your shitty stacking job is going to backfire later. Go back and do it again." He's getting picky and boring in his old age, he decides despondently. It's a shitty morning that slowly turns into a shitty afternoon. And then Tang Chong Mountain Sect shows up. Not, like, all of it, but, wow, that's a slightly larger party than Shang Tsinghua was expecting. Well, he doesn't know how many he was expecting. He was expecting the message to get lost, or the messenger to get lost. But he's definitely surprised by the 2 peak lords and the 20-ish full-grown cultivators behind them. Never has Shang Tsinghua had the thought, "Do you know who would make this terrible fucking day better? My good bro, Shun Qingqiu. Wow, I can't wait to see my good bro, Shun Qingqiu, and involve him in all my problems." Usually, he's only glad to see Shun Qingqiu when, one, he knows for a fact that he hasn't done anything worthy of the man's attention lately. 2, he knows for a fact that someone else, entirely unrelated to him, has fucked up big time. And 3, he's in the mood to witness a verbal mauling. But, right now, he kind of wants to stick out his tongue like a 6-year-old and gloat at cultivator overcompensating belt buckle. Like, "Ha, my scary Shuxiang is here. I hope he does the verbal equivalent of unhinging his jaw to swallow you whole. You fuckers are totally in for it now." Cultivator OBB actually looks briefly nervous as Shun Qingqiu approaches, looking as elegant and formidable as ever, which is the right emotion to have. a fearful feeling in response to seeing Peak Lord Shen Qingqiu dressed for a deadly mission, in armored robes that bulk up his shoulders and accentuate his height, a finger tapping on the hilt of his sword, is absolutely the correct response.
Shang Shedi, you're still alive.
Shen Qingqiu says, very dryly.
How fortunate.
Wow, too much enthusiasm, too much affection. Tone it down. Haha, not for lack of other people trying to change that. Hello, Shen Shixiang. Thank you for coming. Shang Qinghua says, wondering whether Yue Qingyuan sent him purposefully. Bro! Or if Shen Qingqiu grabbed the first excuse to escape event planning with both hands and Changmen Shixiang just didn't say no. Bro! Hello to you too, Mu Shidi. I'm sure that Huanhua Palace sect will be very glad to have the expertise of such a renowned healer here. Mu Qingfang, looking even bulkier in his own armored robes, smiles.
I would be glad to assist.
He says, apparently genuinely, because he can act like a caring bro.
Shang Shidi's messages did not contain very many details. Perhaps he could explain the current situation?
Mu Qingfang is always a good member to have in a party. Very reasonable. He has this amazing technique where he goes,
someone called for a doctor.
And then somehow it takes people halfway through his helping or longer to realize, hey, wait, no one called for a doctor? Who called the doctor? Did the doctor just call himself in? Is he allowed to do that? Shang Qinghua sums up the shitty situation here for his martial siblings. He was looking for an errant teenage girl. He tracked the girl down to the House of Rejuvenation, and he found some really bad shit here and put a stop to it. Shen Qingqiu frowns thoughtfully when hearing about the demons who took over the House of Rejuvenation so that Elder Lady Xia could be young again. And then he doesn't fucking twitch. He's got no damn expression at all. When Shang Qinghua describes the demonic artifacts and the family's rejuvenation technique, Mu Qingfang and the blatantly eavesdropping Chang Chang cultivators behind him, some of whom Shang Qinghua notices are Bai Chan Peak cultivators, are all openly horrified. Some look like they're swallowing physical illness.
This is a situation that falls under the purview of Huanhua Palace sect.
Cultivator overcompensating belt buckle protests. Once Shang Qinghua is more or less finished sharing Huanhua's failures.
Tongchong Mountain Sect involvement with this House of Rejuvenation is no longer necessary.
No longer necessary, thankfully.
Shen Qingqiu agrees. Oh, haha, wow. That's a big eye twitch from Cultivator OBB.
Huanhua Palace Sect must have been stretched quite thin recently to have sent only a handful of young disciples alone to investigate an establishment that has apparently been involved in the disappearances of dozens of people.
Shen Qingqiu observes next, with a poisonous note of a sympathy.
It takes but one resentful death to create a dangerous situation.
Mu Qingfang agrees.
What an interesting choice,
Shen Qingqiu says next.
I personally wouldn't have thought to make it.
Mu Qingfang agrees again.
Nor I.
Oh, this is an unexpected but also somehow unsurprising team-up. Very terrifying.
Perhaps Huanhua Palace Sect has simply been too busy looking ahead to upcoming events to notice such a sinister operation beneath their noses, given the number of cultivators who have now hastened to the scene to correct the distribution of attention.
Shen Qingqiu allows, with that same poisonous sympathy.
Nevertheless, Zhongchong Mountain Sect is blessed to be able to offer assistance to lesser sects in need. Cultivator OBB apparently can't stand that one, because he puffs himself up a little and says, Huanhua Palace Sect would have eventually noticed this terrible situation without Zhongchong's interference. When a second team was eventually sent to investigate the tragic disappearance of these young disciples Shang Shuri saved, Shen Qingqiu says, nodding to acknowledge the point. But you are, of course, glad this didn't happen. We appreciate your gratitude. How fortunate indeed that his involvement now prevented such a terrible loss to your sect. Indeed, Mu Qingfang agrees again. Or perhaps the situation would have been discovered when these demons drained the vitality from this unfortunate town and successfully managed to restore the youth of a formidable demoness whose power as a warlord was said to rival that of a heavenly demon. Shen Qingqiu suggests next. Yes, that would have been extremely noticeable. Zhongchong Mountain Sect is, of course, honored to have assisted Huanhua Palace Sect in preventing such a terrible and noticeable event from coming to pass. One of the Zhongchong cultivators nearly coughs a super fake cough. Same, bro. Shang Qinghua could watch his Shixiang bully someone else for days. Unfortunately, even random assholes with a chip on their shoulder will eventually figure out that they're out of their fucking league here. Cultivator overcompensating belt buckle beats a hasty retreat after throwing one last Zhongchong's assistance is no longer necessary at them. Shang Qinghua will generously allow that the man is probably not at his best after trying and failing to get rid of one very annoying Zhongchong peak lord all day, whatever that best may be. Shang Qinghua probably softened him up a bit. One of the Huanhua Palace Sect cultivators, who has actually been doing things, apparently then recognizes peak lord Mu Qingfang and comes rushing over to invite the renowned healer to inspect the bodies of the victims to prevent unnecessary restlessness, if nothing else. Valiantly ignoring some of the get back here and don't fucking do it gestures of her colleagues behind her. Peak Lord Shen Qingqiu then invites himself to inspect Huanhua Palace Sect's measures for containing the demon remains and such, much to the horror of many Huanhua cultivators. With a sharp wave of his hand, he orders the Zhongchong cultivators not following Mu Qingfang to search the surrounding area, in case Elder Lady Xia has more followers and they disperse like it's a fucking contest. Shang Qinghua hopes, for the sake of those eager Zhongchong cultivators, that Mo Beijun has definitely fucked off, now that the Demon Lord has uncovered Shang Qinghua's greatest accessible secret, because that is a confrontation that would not end well for them. Shang Qinghua's greatest secret is, of course, his status as a transmigrator and the author god of this world, which is, fortunately, inaccessible. There's a renewed sense of hustle and bustle now that Zhongchong Mountain Sect has arrived. The urge to show up or impress a longtime rival is strong like that. But Shang Qinghua is, oddly enough, left with nothing much to do. Shen Qingqiu and Mu Qingfang are both very capable people. Extremely nosy, too. It's kind of funny to sit back and watch some Huanhua cultivators vie for the Peak Lords, who actually look like fancy, formidable, peerless, immortal cultivators right now? Attention. While other Huanhua cultivators subtly attempt to get these nosy Zhongchong cultivators out of their fucking business. To be slightly fair to those territorial Huanhua cultivators, Shang Qinghua personally hates other sects making messes on Zhongchong's turf, so he gets it.
He's not at all inclined to try and call his martial siblings off here, but he gets it. He ends up wandering over to Duan Tianyu. The young man is sitting off to one side, not far from the other original disciples, three of whom appear to be sacked out in a sweet little puppy pile after their all-nighter. Duan Tianyu looks pretty exhausted too, but instead of taking a much-needed nap, he's staring off into the distance, shoulders slumped miserably. "Ah, Master Shang," the young man says when he notices his new company. "No need to get up," Shang Qinghua assures him. "I don't know how much longer I'll be here, now that my sect is here, so we can skip the respectful bowing. I'll take it as a given. I came by to make sure that you young disciples aren't getting into any more trouble without me." "Oh, thank you, Master Shang." Duan Tianyu's friend, Yu Qiaonan, lifts his head up from between his knees. "We told them everything we know now, so they told us to stay out of the way, so that we don't mess anything else up by accident," he says ruefully. "We're probably gonna get sent back to the palace soon. Maybe tomorrow? I want to sleep before we fly anywhere." "Sleep now," Shang Qinghua suggests sympathetically. "Just because cultivators can go for longer without meeting earthly needs doesn't mean that forcing it doesn't actually suck."
"I'm trying,"
Yu Qiaonan agrees.
"I'm too tired to sleep, though."
"Can't sleep," Duan Tianyu mutters, leaning his head back against the wall behind him. Ah, Shang Qinghua thinks he recognizes this sort of young angst, seeing it often enough in his own bratty disciples. He supposes it takes a person a little longer to get over being racked with guilt if they don't have some practice swallowing their own heart or throwing their own pesky emotions out the figurative window. "What's wrong?" Shang Qinghua asks, against his better judgment. Duan Tianyu shoots him a wretched look that very clearly demands, "What isn't wrong?" The very teenaged expression almost makes Shang Qinghua nostalgic for his own shitty years as a disciple. Not really, but almost. "He got told off for destroying those masks," Yu Qiaonan tattles.
"Qiaonan!"
"What? Maybe you won't get punished if Master Shang backs you up," the other disciple says. "Master Shang, I don't think they believed us when we said you said it was fine." Shang Qinghua nearly laughs. I'm going to be accused of destroying Huan Hua's property next, then," he says, unconcerned. "I don't know if my good opinion will help you here, being from a different sect, but I don't think you deserve to be punished for that choice. Maybe the decision was a little hasty, but it wasn't wrong to think something like that shouldn't exist."
"But now we can't fix anyone," Duan Tianyu says.
"Trying to reverse everything would have been a nightmare of logistics," Shang Qinghua says, wincing just thinking about trying to manage something like that. "Who would supervise something like that? How would we make sure we were really undoing a wrong instead of just making it worse? There's some good things that could have been done with an evil thing like that, sure. But the temptation of a power like that is a lot, and it's probably for the best that it was written out of the world, being, figurative there. It'd be a lot easier if it was just like a curse that could be broken," Yu Qiaonan offers.
"It would,"
Shang Qinghua agrees. "But airplane shooting towards the sky's world doesn't work like that. One of our seniors said, I've probably destroyed my chances of making it to the palace master's inner circle being so impulsive," Duan Tianyu says, looking like he might actually break into tears. "Much less to a position as coveted as head disciple." Shang Qinghua wonders if now is the time to break it to the kid that seeking the approval of a character like that probably isn't even a little bit worth it.
Besides, lofty positions aren't so great. Shang Qinghua had to beat out a lot of competition for his current seat. And then there's a lot of ongoing maintenance after making it. He did some things he's not proud of to make the system happy. But, he supposes it won't help these disciples to share hard-earned wisdom like, hey, if you think people saying mean things about your abilities is discouraging, wait until you get to sabotage attempts that may as well be assassination attempts. That's when sect politics gets really fun. There will be other chances, Shang Qinghua says, as lightheartedly as he can manage. Staying alive is an accomplishment that really helps your chances of personal advancement in the long term, you know. Lofty positions need you to be alive foremost. Yu Qiaonan snorts, but Duan Tianyu can't really manage a smile. I'll never be able to help people properly without a better position, Duan Tianyu insists. I do want it for me, but I want to help people and change things too. But I can't become a head disciple and make a real difference in the world if all my decisions are terrible. There's a sharp bark of laughter nearby, which Zhang Qinghua recognizes, even though it's a rare sound. He has that laugh imprinted into his memory as a sign to escape the room as soon as fucking possible. When he looks over his shoulder, he's both unsurprised and mildly horrified to see Peak Lord Shen Qingqiu walking up to them. Is the man already done bullying the Huanhua Palace sect cultivators? That's a little too fast, isn't it? Duan Tianyu and Yu Qiaonan both sit up straighter, unlike their sleeping Shidi, then decide not to risk offending by scrambling to their feet and bowing and greeting. Immortal Master Shen! Shen Qingqiu looks down on the young Duan Tianyu with an expression that can really only be called disdainful amusement. Sometimes this man really gives off the impression that he's here to tell you that you're failing all your classes, your girlfriend has left you for someone you thought was your friend, your house has burned down and the cops have issued a warrant for your arrest. And that telling you this is both his privilege and his pleasure. He makes a person go, oh shit, shit's fucked, my life is totally over, before a person remembers, wait, I'm not in school anymore, I've never had a girlfriend, I don't own a house, and I'm way too boring to have law enforcement after me for any reason. That can't be it. Duan Tianyu and Yu Qiaonan appear to be experiencing this very particular fear.
A lofty position, Shen Qingqiu declares finally, will not make you any better than you are now. In truth, you will always be exactly who you are now.
Fucking ouch! That wasn't even directed at Shang Qinghua, and it still hurts. Hey, they're still young, Shang Qinghua protests. They've got plenty of time to improve, and you don't even need to be young to try to get better at anything. Shen Qingqiu gives him a slow, dangerous look.
One may always attempt to cultivate their skills, but the soul itself is not so simply changeable. It is what it is. It will always be what it is.
He looks back at Duan Tianyu and says,
titles will not change the truth of a person any more than they change the truth of a thing.
Duan Tianyu visibly swallows, but nods. But Shen Qingqiu isn't done, and if anything, his voice gets even colder.
If you are waiting to act until you have a position in which no one will censure you, then you will be waiting for a very long time, and one can only conclude that you do not truly care for those you claim are your reason for rising. If it is everything or nothing, with no in between, you will always be nothing. You must find a way to act as you are now, wanting though that may be, All the suffering in the world will not wait until you are personally ready to face it.
Thank you for your wisdom, Master Shun. Duan Tianyu says, even though there are definitely tears in the corners of the young man's eyes now. Oh no, one even streaks down his cheek. Aw, that's pathetic. Shun Qingqiu doesn't appear to notice as he inclines his head in answer. Then his head snaps suddenly towards Zhang Qinghua, actually causing him to jump. And he says,
Zhang Shidi, a word.
Which nearly makes Zhang Qinghua jump again. Fuck! Of course. Then Shun Qingqiu walks off, but Zhang Qinghua doesn't immediately follow. He returns his attention to Duan Tianyu and Yu Qianan, as Duan Tianyu sinks back down to the ground, Yu Qianan following him down with a hand on his weeping friend's shoulder. It looks like Yu Qianan is beginning to cry too, quickly swiping at his face with his sleeve, maybe out of sympathy for his friend.
Hey, no offense to that guy, Yu Qianan whispers, but the last time you tried to act before you were ready, we all got knocked out by demons and had to be rescued. So you take all the time you need next time, eh, Tianyu?
Duan Tianyu sputters with something between a laughter and a sob. Zhang Qinghua sighs and crouches down in front of them.
Don't try and take on the weight of everything. You'll give yourself back problems.
But my Shixiang, he's right that lofty positions don't change everything at once. Habits are hard to build and hard to break. I don't think destroying those demonic artifacts was the wrong thing to do. But it might be a good idea to grovel anyway, just to get the palace master off your back. Don't accept too much blame, though, especially not for things you didn't do.
Peak Lord Shang.
Fuck. All right, I've got to go for now. Look for the things you can do where you are, Zhang Qinghua says, and ruffles Duan Tianyu's hair before he can recognize that this is a maybe 20-ish relative stranger and not his 6-year-old nephew.
Well, shit. He's already done it, so there's no point in acting weird about it.
He gets back to his feet and goes over to see what his scariest Shixiang wants.
Sorry to keep you waiting, Shun Shixiang. How can I help?
Shun Qingqiu is staring in the direction of the Huanhua Palace sect cultivators, who look like they're finished loading up the late elder Lady Xia's fancy carriages. Zhang Qinghua debated pestering them to give him one of them, so he didn't have to hire his own transport to take his little family back to Sanjiao Town. But he really didn't want to bring Feng Fan Li, Luo Jiahui, or Luo Bingha to their attention in any way, so they can keep their tacky rides.
Many of the demon's belongings bear the symbol of the so-called Western Demon King,
Shun Qingqiu says finally.
Do you anticipate retaliation from the demon realm for their deaths?
What? Zhang Qinghua's first instinct is to cry out, why the fuck would I know about that? I'm not associated with demons. Maybe you're the one associated with demons. Except that's a super bad instinct, so he squashes it, like a particularly annoying mosquito. The Huanhua Palace sect cultivators have already figured out the same thing, and Zhang Qinghua has a growing reputation as a man with his ear to the ground these days, now that he's kind of bros with some of the other peak lords. Not Shun fucking Qingqiu. So acting totally ignorant here would probably make Shun Qingqiu even more suspicious than he already is.
The death of a valued acquaintance of the so-called Western Demon King may call for retaliation. Huanhua Palace sect appears to have lost interest in the relationship as soon as they determined that the demon leader had most likely not sent her personally to retrieve the artifact.
Shun Qingqiu remarks, as though he's trying to decide whether or not to warn the other sect about potential hordes of angry demons.
Maybe he will, maybe he won't.
Oh, huh. Well, I don't know if this elder Lady Xia had blood or marriage ties to that demon clan, but I've heard rumor has it that there's a cursed immortal who was a guest in that court for the past few generations, Zhang Qinghua offers. So, maybe? Fuck. Wow, if another sect accidentally pissed off a demon sovereign on Changchong Mountain Sect territory, Zhang Qinghua would be super angry about it. This could be super bad. Shen Qingqiu's hand flexes before he crosses his arms.
A cultivator from Tianyi Overlook took the head of the last so-called Western Demon King's crown prince 3 years ago.
I remember that. The younger sister inherited instead, didn't she? Zhang Qinghua mostly remembers that, because after the gossip about the cultivator's vendetta went around, Mo Beijun was ordered by his father to secretly clear a path for the cultivator, after the dying Western king apparently decided to use some of his precious time left to throw some long-festering insults at his rivals. Mo Beijun was super annoyed about the whole thing. He clearly would have preferred killing his fellow heir outright instead of orchestrating an assassination. But his father apparently wanted the death to be done by a human, so it was extra shameful. So the Western Demon King character was definitely a guy in proud immortal demon way. Not a woman. But many of the non-wife, higher-ranking demons tended to be referred to by titles alone. So Zhang Qinghua quickly figured that the demoness's son will come of age or an ambitious relative will orchestrate another assassination sometime in the next 15 to 20 or so years, before the protagonist is scheduled to have extended plot lines in that area. It hasn't been worth worrying about. He wrote way too many cutthroat demon clans to fly into a panic every time another demon noble gets knocked off in the background.
Let us hope, for Huanhua Palace sect's sake, that this elder Lady Xia was made unwelcome by the newest demon to crawl to the top of that heap.
Shen Qingqiu remarks finally,
rather than sent to retrieve a horror on their behalf.
Yeah, Zhang Qinghua agrees. Shen Qingqiu walks off shortly after that, apparently finished with the conversation. And Zhang Qinghua internally wishes him the best with inflicting his presence on the Huanhua cultivators. Not too painful as far as conversations with his scariest and most suspicious Shixiang go. For the sake of Yue Qingyuan's future headache when dealing with Huanhua Palace sect, Zhang Qinghua also hopes that Lady Xia was here because the current Western Demon King kicked her out. That would kind of explain why these plot lines got mixed up so early.
Wait.
Lady Xia came to the House of Rejuvenation for the demonic artifacts. Lady Xia was maybe only in the area because the current leader of the Bai clan threw her out, maybe? The current Xi Feng Jun only has the title because her brother was killed by a Tianyi Overlook cultivator. The brother was only killed because Mo Beijun cleared the way, because his father told him to do it on a whim. Mo Beijun's father only knew about the human cultivator's quest because Mo Beijun told him. Mo Beijun only knew about the human cultivator with a vendetta against the late Western Demon King's favorite son because Zhang Qinghua told him nearly 5 years ago. No, that can't be right. That can't be what happened. That's not right. Zhang Qinghua runs the connections over again in his head because he's sure that he's missing something here that will make it all not make sense again. But, nope. The person that Zhang Qinghua's brain keeps taking him back to is himself, and not just because of airplane shooting towards the sky. Fuck. Zhang Qinghua is kind of in a daze until Mu Qingfang approaches him, asking if it's true that he's protecting a living victim of the demonic artifact. Mu Qingfang is capable of keeping things on the down low, at least, and the man is only really obligated to break confidence for Yue Qingyuan, who already knows that Zhang Qinghua has a sister-in-law and a nephew. Zhang Qinghua decides to let Luo Jiahui decide whether or not to let Mu Qingfang in. He's really not expecting his martial brother to immediately recognize his sister-in-law. Madam Luo? Oh, Master Mu.
What the fuck?
I met Master Mu in passing while volunteering at the clinic in Sanqiao Town. Luo Jiahui explains to Zhang Qinghua, quickly inviting the man inside. I wanted to thank Madame Luo for her efforts in organizing events to encourage more people to visit the clinic. Mu Qingfang explains on his end. Such kitchens are difficult to organize consistently without local assistance, though a good meal is what many of our patients need most. The disciples staffing the clinic are busy enough practicing their own skills. Ah, of course, Zhang Qinghua says, having actually helped his sister-in-law with some of the logistics of feeding a large number of people very cheaply. They worked it out together at Luo Jiahui's table. In his defense, he has too many things to pay attention to realize these things. It's no trouble, Luo Jiahui insists. Mu Qingfang is appropriately horrified to learn that the victim is none other than Luo Jiahui's younger sister. The man is nothing but kind to Feng Fan Li, who doesn't seem to know what to make of this stranger at first, asking his questions in a very gentle voice, and asking her before he makes any kind of move. Feng Fan Li eventually seems to decide that this doctor is all right, though she's apparently forgotten his name by the end of the checkup. He's bro-shaped like that, until he decides that he's going to be a little bit of an asshole about something logistics related. Luo Jiahui has clearly had a very tiring day looking after an upset 6-year-old who is currently in Zhang Qinghua's arms and refuses to be put down, and a prematurely aged, traumatized teenager. Mu Qingfang clearly wishes he could give them both better news than that the damage will not be reversible through any methods of which he knows. Fuck. Huangge is going to look for a way, Luo Jiahui says. Mu Qingfang doesn't let his doubts show, well, too much, and says, if such a treatment can be found, then I will be glad to assist Zhang Shixiang however I may be able.
The next day, Zhang Qinghua organizes transport for the long way home to Sanjiao Town, since flying will be too awkward, and Mu Qingfang volunteers to accompany them, alongside some trusted Qian Qiao peak cultivators. Luo Jiahui accepts the offer before Zhang Qinghua can decide one way or another. It's a relief when it's taken as a given that Shen Qingqiu will take the short way home with everyone else to report the situation to their sect leader. One of the Huanhua Palace sect cultivators has apparently decided to draw the line and has formally requested that Zhang Chong Mountain sect leave the matter of the House of Rejuvenation to them. They've even gotten clever and roped in the local officials of Lin Luo Town, getting the local voice to declare that they want Huanhua Palace sect's assistance here, and that they want Zhang Chong Mountain sect to leave now, please. Zhang Chong Mountain sect basically has to pack up and leave unless they want to outright declare that they have the right to ignore the wishes of the residents and the rightful protectors of any given territory. Zhang Qinghua does not bother asking anyone if it's okay to take Feng Fan Li away from the investigation because, yeah, no, fuck that. Huanhua Palace sect can whine at him later. Packing up to leave is done efficiently and eagerly. The only person not 100% certain that they want to get the fuck out of here already and forever is Feng Fan Li, who has to be repeatedly reminded that going home doesn't mean that they're taking her back to her parents. Luo Jiahui said they were all going back to Sanjiao Town, and Shang Qinghua didn't argue with her. Shang Qinghua's little sister-in-law's world might be a little confused. She definitely doesn't want to stay here, but she knows enough to be afraid of how angry her parents are going to be with her, and requires a lot of reassurance from Luo Jiahui. Duan Tianyu and Yu Qiaonan sneakily break away from the House of Rejuvenation and Huanhua Palace sect to thank Shang Qinghua one last time. They bid him an uncomfortably earnest farewell. Shang Qinghua ends up ruffling Duan Tianyu's hair again, who seems dazed by it, then does the same to Yu Qiaonan, who laughs, because being an esteemed Peak Lord should come with some benefits. He promises to see them soon at the upcoming conference.
That is, assuming that their masters agree they should be awarded the honor of participating,
Shen Qingqiu announces, appearing out of fucking nowhere again. Shen Shixiang, I thought you had left already, or were still busy with Huanhua. Shang Qinghua greets desperately. If there was ever a Peak Lord that Shang Qinghua wanted nowhere near his little family, it's this one. He'd been doing so well at playing keep away until Shen Qingqiu decided to be inconveniently unpredictable like this. Luo Jiahui has just taken the little protagonist away for one last bathroom break before they roll out. Thank fuck. But they could be back at any second. If Mo Beijun meeting the protagonist early was bad in the eyes of the system, this meeting will definitely be worse. And Shang Qinghua does not trust that this one will surprise him in the same way. But then Shen Qingqiu makes it even worse by saying,
arrangements are still being made. Huanhua Palace's Master Ren Huaichi has arrived and asked if we knew the whereabouts of the missing living victim for the Huanhua Palace sect.
Shang Qinghua needs a curse word worse than fuck, honestly. Duan Tianyu and Yu Qiaonan flee like their lives depend on it when Shang Qinghua dismisses them. They both wave over their shoulders as they go, though, which is cute. Haha, Shang Qinghua probably wouldn't let those naive kids attend a cultivation conference either. Children really can't see the wall through the paint, huh? Shang Qinghua says to his martial brother, so cheerfully that it grates on his own ears. I feel like I could tell them I put the sun in the sky and they'd believe me at least a little bit.
They will be infinitely better off for having their childish ideas about the world corrected as soon as possible.
Shen Qingqiu replies smoothly. He has a fan back in hand today, and fans himself almost lazily as he declares,
already they're old enough to know they should know better. Some suffering is inevitable and necessary for a complete perspective. Otherwise, that disciple will either always be a fool or meet a foul end.
Shang Qinghua really hates kind of agreeing with Shen fucking Qingqiu. Maybe, he says, shaking a hand in a so-so gesture. Oh, fuck. Is he disagreeing with Shen Qingqiu? What the fuck is he doing? They don't have to suffer themselves, though. Just to know to be a little more careful. Shen Qingqiu disagrees through his unimpressed expression alone. I'm just saying it would be kind of nice if we could make it so that kids could have it better than we did and be better than we are, you know? Shang Qinghua says, even more desperately than before. He should really stop talking here. He needs to stop fucking talking. Isn't that what we're all supposedly tasked with? Leaving the world a better place than how we found it? And some are tasked more seriously than others, with transmigration systems to enforce it. Shen Qingqiu definitely has a
"What the fuck are you even talking about?" expression. When he speaks, he says sharply,
"Shang Shuri, enough. Where is the missing living victim?"
Shang Ching Hua doesn't answer, caught between distractions. Shen Qingqiu then decides to just walk past Shang Ching Hua around the corner he and the Huan Hua disciples were using for privacy, where Feng Fan Li is sitting on their transport with Mu Qing Fang and a couple of Tian Tiao cultivators, waiting to go. Shang Ching Hua follows, feeling a little bit useless and even more desperate, and wondering if Mu Qing Fang would team up with him to take on their scariest Shuxiang. Shen Qingqiu stops near enough for Feng Fan Li to squint at him and then say, maybe a little bit like she's guessing,
"Good morning again, doctor."
Even though Shen Qingqiu and Mu Qingfang don't look anything alike, really, which makes Shang Qinghua really wonder if her vision is a little bit bad now, too.
"Good morning."
Shen Qingqiu returns politely.
"It's a lovely morning, isn't it?"
"Very lovely. Excuse me."
Then he turns on his heel, walks back to Shang Qinghua, and says, very quietly and very flatly,
"How old is she, really?"
Nearly 17, I think.
Shen Qingqiu taps his fan against his chin, then says,
"What a shame that Huan Hua Palace sect has forbidden us from assisting them any further in this matter."
What a shame?
Shang Qinghua agrees hesitantly. And then Shen Qingqiu leaves. It looks to be for good this time. For real. Fucking finally. But Shang Qinghua keeps an eye out for another ambush anyway, especially when Luo Jiahui and his nephew come back. Shang Qinghua doesn't know how proud immortal demon Wei's most famous scum villain might manage to outdo two headless bodies and two arm injuries upon prematurely meeting the protagonist. Nor is he willing to fuck around and find out. He won't underestimate Shen Qingqiu's capabilities there. It's time to go home. Traveling is fine. It could be worse. Mu Qingfang isn't bad company. He keeps his Qian Tao cultivators from asking questions and reminds them to respect Shang Cheng Hua's privacy after the journey's over as well. Luo Binghe clearly doesn't like his new auntie taking up so much of his loving mother's time and attention, but he's placated by Shang Qinghua's attention and finally getting to go home. Shang Qinghua and Luo Jiahui, when she can, listen and nod attentively as Binghe describes everything he's missed, in between bouts of being extremely sticky and a little bit quiet. Shang Qinghua isn't sure that Feng Fan Li remembers who Luo Binghe is all the time, but she seems to have a place in her head for Jia Jia's baby, and he fits there more often than not. Mu Qingfang's calming presence is much appreciated through the continuing nightmares and occasional sudden weeping fits over the days of travel. Finally arriving back in Sanjiao Town is a relief in too many ways to name. Shang Qinghua really feels prepared to swear off vacations forever after all that. But, as they bid farewell to Mu Qingfang and his disciples, Shang Qinghua can't help the dread down his spine as they come closer and closer to an important talk he's been putting off for... He's been putting off this talk for a long, long time. Mu Qingfang insists that Chongmen Shuxiang will be expecting Shang Qinghua to spend at least one night with his family, helping them settle in after their harrowing journey. So Shang Qinghua really can't claim needing to rush off to work unless someone blows up part of their mountain again. Not that he was going to do that, of course. Granny Sun is introduced to Feng Fan Li and given a very brief rundown of the shitty situation, and immediately enfolds Luo Jiahui in an even tighter hug than the one she gave Luo Binghe earlier.
The situation is so clearly shitty that Granny Sun even pats Xiang Qinghua on the shoulder, which means he must truly look really pathetic right now. Feng Fanli is given a tour and then is settled into Luo Jiahui's room, while Luo Bingha runs around the house, trying to do everything he used to do all at once, trying to play with everything he left behind at the same time, until Luo Jiahui calls attention to the mess he's making. While Bingha does a half-hearted job of picking up again, Luo Jiahui frets over her empty kitchen and all the shopping she'll need to do, until Granny Sun brings dinner over. Afterwards, Xiang Qinghua reads to his nephew until the boy can't keep his eyes open any longer, then staggers out into the main room to essentially collapse next to Luo Jiahui. He feels totally ready to retire, here and now, honestly. He nearly falls asleep like that, until Luo Jiahui pokes him.
Huage, we need to talk.
Xiang Qinghua represses his groan.
I know.
He takes a deep breath and sits up properly, before needing to put his head between his legs for a moment.
All right, I'm awake. We need to have that very important talk now because it is very, very overdue.
Luo Jiahui takes her own deep breath and nods, then waits.
Don't know where to start, Xiang Qinghua admits.
At the beginning?
There's a couple beginnings, though.
Any beginning is good.
I guess that I should maybe start with the secret of Bingha's birth parents, Xiang Qinghua decides. I didn't really know them so much as I knew of them, you know? I really wasn't lying when I said they had many enemies. Bingha's birth mother was the head disciple of the Huanhua Palace sect, a woman named Su Xian. But his father was Tian Langjun, a heavenly demon and the demon emperor who was sealed under a mountain.
Luo Jiahui has been frowning along, but now she inhales sharply.
Bingha is a half-demon. Yes, Xiang Qinghua says quietly.
He lets that sink in, even though a part of him wants to dump everything at once and run. He's not going to do that.
Luo Jiahui looks dazed enough already. I didn't know how to tell you. He used to growl as a baby,
Luo Jiahui says finally.
What? Bingha used to growl as a baby sometimes. I never noticed.
He doesn't anymore. I tried to make sure that he never did it around you, Luo Jiahui admits.
I always tried to make sure that he's well behaved for you. I didn't want you to think that there might be something wrong with him in case you decided to stop helping us or take him away.
I wouldn't have done that, Xiang Qinghua says quickly.
I know that now.
Good. Did you suspect that Bingha might be different?
Luo Jiahui bites her lip. I helped raise Fun Li a little bit, but I didn't really have much experience with other babies. I thought maybe it was because Bingha was a boy. I don't know what I thought. It was strange, but not that strange. Humans can make those noises, too.
I guess, Xiang Qinghua agrees a little bit wondrously. He didn't know anything about babies before he ended up meddling with his protagonist's son's childhood, honestly. So he might have totally thought the same thing if he didn't already know about the half-demon thing. Maybe babies just growl sometimes. Maybe that's a thing before they learn to talk and grow out of it. It's really not the weirdest thing a new human being might do.
Bingha doesn't look or act much like a demon at all, Luo Jiahui says, a little defensively maybe.
That's because his demonic side is apparently mostly sealed,
Zhang Qinghua explains. Luo Jiahui doesn't appear to find this reassuring at all.
And Binghe is still Binghe, of course. Human or demon, or both at once, he's still him. He still knows right from wrong, just like you taught him. And he still loves you. Even when the seal eventually breaks, he'll still be our Binghe.
At least until the Eternal Abyss, which is where things are going to get really complicated. But that's years and years away, so Zhang Qinghua isn't going to think about it yet. He has faith that even if everything else changes, even if the protagonist is ruined beyond repair in all other ways, his nephew's love for his mother won't be moved. Well, he really, really hopes so, because the alternative is... he can't handle the alternative.
Luo Jiahui nods, looking touched and then determinedly serious, and reaches out to take Zhang Qinghua's hand.
How is his demonic side sealed? When is it going to break?
I don't know exactly, Zhang Qinghua admits. I think that it may have been something that Su Xian did before he was born, to protect him throughout his childhood. But don't worry, the ceiling looks very sturdy. I'm very sure that it'll take a lot to break it.
The mechanics of it truly are a mystery to him. The protagonist's demonic heritage was conveniently and firmly partially sealed away, until it was conveniently and explosively revealed at the worst possible moment for the boy. Airplane shooting towards the sky didn't need to explain that extremely popular trope at all. Everyone understood it. Even with this badly designed world changing all around them, Zhang Qinghua feels relatively certain that the system will protect the protagonist and such a pivotal scene in Proud Immortal Demon Way.
I wish I could thank her for watching over him like that then,
Luo Jiahui says quietly.
It seemed so lucky that he would survive the Luochuan River like that. And then, when that demon tried to attack him back in Lin Luo Town, in that house, her love must have been very strong to be protecting him like that.
It must have been, Zhang Qinghua agrees hoarsely. Anyone who endures the torture of Huanhua Palace Sect's infamous dungeons, then drinks poison just to have the chance to save their child's life, must have loved either the child or the child's other parent very much. Luo Binghe had birth parents who would have loved him once, before life and all of its problems got in the way. Before the plot and all of its problems got in the way. Zhang Qinghua wishes that he could attribute Luo Binghe's golden halo to his birth mother. He wishes that he wasn't thinking, it's actually a strict, all-powerful being enforcing an unnecessarily angsty plot written by a cynical asshole who had to sell their artistic vision for rent money. But it being Su Xian looking out for him is a very nice thought.
If when Binghe's other side comes out and people know that he's part demon, people aren't going to be so accepting of him, are they?
Luo Jiahui says next, like she knows that's an understatement.
No, probably not.
Heavenly demons are a special kind of demon, too, aren't they?
They are, Zhang Qinghua admits.
They're very powerful. The most powerful kind of demon there is, really. When the seal breaks and Binghe can't live as just another normal human anymore, he probably won't be left alone unless he can protect himself. But he'll be very powerful, and he's very clever. So I do... he'll figure it out. It's in his blood.
Luo Jiahui still doesn't look reassured, but Zhang Qinghua would be very surprised if she did.
If he's going to join your sect someday, won't that be dangerous for him? Cultivation sects don't accept part demons, do they?
Well, not knowingly.
Huohua!
If it's Chong Chong, then I can look after him a little bit. I can watch over him until it looks like his seal might break, or until he breaks it himself.
He might decide to break it himself when he's ready to go to the demon realm. I can help him get away, if people can't be persuaded to just let him go and leave him be.
Why does he have to join a sect at all?
Luo Jiahui demands.
That was my question,
a part of Shangqing Hua internally crows, because he asked his transmigration system the exact same thing about his own character. But nope, it was Chang Chang Mountain Sect or bust, Unding Peak or bust, and he wasn't allowed to do his own thing as a totally disposable background character. He doesn't think the protagonist will be allowed to make a break for it either.
Well, I guess he doesn't, Shangqing Hua says, through a feeling like the system inhaling a virtual breath to screech his fucking ears off.
But he's human, too, as human as he is anything else, and cultivating himself as a human would prepare him at least a little bit for the demon realm someday. It would help balance him when he's older. Tang Chong is one of the best sects in the world, and I can watch out for him there. And, well, I can't really just leave Tang Chong to teach him myself. I could swing a few months of seclusion, maybe. Maybe even a year, but it wouldn't be the same.
The protagonist would probably still grow up to kick the ass of cultivators who had been doing all-day, every-day training for years, because that's how it works for the protagonist. But Shangqing Hua doesn't really want to risk it. What if he fucks up? What if he fucks up the protagonist's progress permanently? And he has a job he can't just quit. He has his own disciples. If he took a year off to focus on family, he'd probably want to kick his own ass for that shit. So he doubts Chang Chong Mountain Sect would feel very differently about it. But back to that first point. Training once a week in your backyard with your uncle, no matter who that uncle might be, really, really isn't the same as cultivating as a disciple of a great sect. Shangqing Hua squeezes his sister-in-law's hand.
It's not happening right now, he says, which is the main thing keeping him even a little bit calm about any of this. There's time. He's not leaving for the mountain or anywhere else tomorrow.
Luo Jiahui squeezes back and nods.
Why did you come looking for Binghe?
Well, curiosity? Concern?
Shangqing Hua says, and does his best to assure her that he really had no intentions. He just wanted to know what had happened to the baby of the poor couple. He then has to assure Luo Jiahui that no one else knew about Su Xian's child, or that she even had a child with Tian Langchun, and, that he can't share how exactly he knew.
Why did you take us in? Luo Jiahui asks, with a morbid curiosity and a quietness that Shangqing Hua well understands.
It kind of feels like her hand in his between them is the only thing keeping him from flying away.
Because you didn't deserve to live like that, Shangqing Hua tells her. You didn't do anything to deserve living like that.
All of the selfish, scummy character motivations he figured out could have been twisted to excuse any course of action, including leaving Luo Jiahui to die and then swooping in to earn the orphaned protagonist's loyalty afterwards. If he really wanted to look out for himself and only himself, he probably should have left the protagonist alone. He should have killed Mo Beijun when they first met all those years ago. If he faces the facts here, the honest answer as to why he did what he did, it was for his own peace of mind. He really meant to go back to not caring and hardening his heart to the plot afterwards. Good deed done. Everything that followed, ending up here now, he really didn't mean for that to happen.
Thank you, Luo Jiahui says.
I wouldn't thank me just yet, Shangqing Hua protests. There's
more. The last demon.
Zhang Chenghua takes in a deep, shuddering breath.
Yeah. You called him your king,
Luo Jiahui prompts, like she's been turning the scene over for days herself, and it still doesn't make sense to her. He came to help you, but you're scared of him?
It's a little bit complicated,
Zhang Chenghua says helplessly.
That demon, we met a very long time ago now, when I was still an outer disciple of the sect. I was traveling with my fellow disciples, and we encountered him when he was injured and alone in the human realm. The other disciples died, but I didn't, and when I could have killed him, I didn't. I took him somewhere safe to heal instead, and I promised to be his servant.
Luo Jiahui's hand is still warm and comforting on his own, her brow furrowed in thought.
But you spared his life.
He could have killed me first, or after, Zhang Chenghua protests, because it's difficult to think in terms of debt without bringing up memories of years of fear and resentment.
It's complicated. He's the son of the Northern Demon King. He's the future Mo Bei Jun.
So he's a very powerful demon.
Very, very powerful,
Zhang Chenghua agrees.
But you're a peak lord,
Luo Jiahui says, and he can't tell if she means it in a you're also supposed to be very powerful way, or if she means it in a Huaga, are you betraying your sect by serving him? Way.
Maybe both? It could be either or both.
He's still much stronger than I am, Zhang Chenghua says.
Chong Chong Mountain Sect doesn't know and wouldn't be happy with me if they knew, but the relationship isn't so bad now. It's very useful sometimes. It's helped me more than a few times, too. Humans and demons can be good allies with a little bit of work, and I have an okay understanding of the man's character now, and he doesn't easily go back on his word, though. So don't worry about me, all right? I'm handling it.
Luo Jiahui looks a little bit like she does when he assures her that he can feed himself and has been going to bed on time lately, which is probably fair. But Zhang Chenghua has been thinking about it, and while he wants to be cautious about this change in the relationship, he thinks he may have been a little blind to his efforts bearing unexpected fruit. He'd initially set out to make sure that Mo Bei Jun didn't ever have a reason to kill him, not for disloyalty and not for uselessness. And he's thinking now that he may have done too good a job. It was just difficult to tell between the overwhelming fear of the apparently inevitable plot and the fact that Mo Bei Jun has very limited facial expressions. It looks like this Zhang Chenghua may have been successful on the save my own life mission front. It's really weird to think about, but wow. It took some time thinking after the shock of that night wore off a little. But he also thinks Mo Bei Jun might really approve of an uncle being unwilling to abandon their young nephew. Zhang Chenghua usually curses that shitty backstory whenever it seems like Mo Bei Jun is in a foul mood because his family is being super murderously dysfunctional again. But now he's kind of grateful for it. If both being nephews creates an extra point of bonding between the demon lord and the young protagonist, then Zhang Chenghua can't really complain about it. He never considered that angle, but it's a good angle. It's a very workable angle. Zhang Chenghua will have to endeavor to appear as anything but a shitty uncle now, probably. At least Lin Guangjun set a really low bar. He didn't know about Bingha until we ran into each other in Lin Luo Town like that, Zhang Chenghua promises his sister-in-law. I didn't know what he would do if he knew, and I didn't want to take any chances. But he noticed then that Bingha was a little bit not human, so I had to tell him, and he's made a really good offer. An offer, Luo Jiahui repeats unenthusiastically. Xiang Qinghua squeezes her hand again. When Bingha needs to go to the demon realm, when he needs to learn to control his demonic side, Mo Beijun said that his family will foster him. That means they can protect him from other demons and train him to protect himself. I can watch him at Tang Qiong, where he can cultivate his human side, but I can't help him with the demonic side. But this demon master is willing to help? When Bingha needs to go, which won't be for a long time. Xiang Qinghua can't really imagine anyone being happy about being told that a demon lord is going to take their baby away from them someday. But he'd really like some sign that he's properly conveying what a good thing this offer is. How does he communicate that Mo Beijun is destined to become the protagonist's ally and lieutenant? That Mo Beijun occasionally acted as an early guide to the highest levels of demon politics in Proud Immortal Demon Way? He's hesitant to hope, but he really does think it might turn out just fine. Well, if it's allowed to happen at all. How does he communicate, without his system taking off as many points as possible, that this deal may be their only shot at keeping his little nephew out of the eternal fucking abyss? Sister-in-law can think about it, Xiang Qinghua says, as long as she likes, and she can ask as many questions as she likes about it. Maybe this wasn't such a good thing to tell you when things are really hard right now with the little sister, but your brother-in-law will do his best to look for more solutions here, all right? If this arrangement turns out to be no good, we can work something else out. Luo Jiahui stares at him for not very long at all, but which feels like a very long time anyway, and then puts her other hand on top of their joined ones. I know, she says, firmly. Huage is always looking out for us. Well, he tries, Xiang Qinghua says jokingly. I don't know what to make of this yet, Luo Jiahui admits. I don't know if I really understand any of it. I need to think about it, and I'll have lots of questions for you later. Maybe after I've settled Fan Li and Bingha here properly, but even if I don't really understand everything that you've told me yet, I trust you. I'll keep it secret. The relief in Xiang Qinghua is so sharp that it stings. Even if Luo Jiahui became angry at him, her first priority would always be her son. I wish you told me sooner. But if you told me when we first met, I don't know what I would have done. I think that I was a very different person then. We both were, Xiang Qinghua answers. Well, the person I am now trusts you, Luo Jiahui repeats. Even if I really wish I'd known, even though I don't know if it would have changed anything, the person I am now is grateful that the person you are now trusts me too. I do. Trust you. In this moment, he really wishes that he could tell her everything. He wishes that he could tell her that he's not from this world. He wishes that he could tell her about the system and explain how his choices aren't entirely his own to make, so she can tell him that his self-preservation is actually forgivable. He wishes that he could tell her that he wrote this world when he was a very, very different person, and that he never meant for any of the pain and resentment and loathing he poured into his web novel to come true. I trust you, Xiang Qinghua repeats to her, because he can't bring himself to say anything else, like, you deserve so much better than me. He puts his free hand over her own and just says, I'm sorry. It's all right, Luo Jiahui says, like she's trying to mean it.
like she's trying to make it come true, too. Returning to Tiangchong Mountain Peak the next day isn't so exciting. Zhang Qinghua has to go to Changding Peak to make his report of the whole terrible mission directly to his sect leader, in detail, and finds himself being more truthful about his family hardships than expected. Minus, the whole Mo Bei Jun thing and the most painful particulars. Xin Qingqiu and Mu Qingfang have already made their reports, so he doesn't want to accidentally give the impression that he has anything to hide, because, well, he does. Yue Qingyuan acts like a good bro about the difficulties Zhang Qinghua's family is facing. He's compassionate and understanding. He's not angry about whatever fit Huanhua Palace sect might be throwing at him right now over the House of Rejuvenation mess. He makes his own lukewarmish offer of assistance, telling Zhang Qinghua to let him know if there's anything the sect can do, which more or less means, Zhang Qinghua mentally translates, that he's volunteering Mu Qingfang's assistance and that Zhang Qinghua can probably ask for more time off to deal with shit. He also makes a very solemn apology that this happened, like a preemptive, I'm sorry for your loss. Zhang Qinghua assumes that Mu Qingfang and Xin Qingqiu have both told Changwen Shuxiang that a cure for Feng Fanli is unlikely to be found.
Liu Shidi is away on a mission at the moment, but once he returns, I'm sure he'll be very glad to hear that everyone has returned safely,
Yue Qingyuan says next.
Whatever assistance he may offer personally, I still expect the sect to be kept informed of your efforts in finding treatment.
Oh, wow. Zhangmen Shuxiang has Liu Shidi's number, huh? Zhang Qinghua has no idea what the man actually knows here about Liu Qingga's personal investment here, so he just nods agreeably. He's pretty sure he's told Yue Qingyuan directly that his unexpected friendship with the Baichan Peak war god does not mean that he can exert any kind of control on the man's worst impulses, or that he suddenly understands the man's fascinatingly opaque thought processes. But Yue Qingyuan seems to have taken that information and then purposefully deleted it from his memory.
That all said, welcome back, Shang Shidi,
Yue Qingyuan says sincerely. How much work has piled up while I've been gone? Zhang Qinghua asks jokingly, because he thinks he may have used up all of his sincerity for the rest of the year now. It must be a lot to get this warm of a welcome.
Yue Qingyuan's smile turns a little wry. Zhang Shidi may take more time for himself and his family if needed, he insists. Though it is true, the return of his logistical expertise would be much appreciated, especially given the latest developments with the Huanhua Palace sect. The revival of the Immortal Alliance Conference, unfortunately, still refuses to organize itself.
I think it would manage to happen without us somehow, Zhang Qinghua says a little distantly. Maybe we should continue just standing back and see if it happens anyway.
We won't know until we try,
Yue Qingyuan agrees humorously. Like, Zhang Qinghua is only joking. He's kind of joking, true, but he's also kind of not joking at all.
Their lives never had a chance of staying the same.